Some people think that prayer is little more than a psychological crutch. You pray because it's like one of those self-help tools. You tell yourself something long enough, you think a certain way, and you begin to act in that way. And prayer is just psychological. Oh, there's not really a God in heaven who is doling out answers to prayers, manufacturing how we behave and or the things that we receive in life. No, that's not a realistic view of prayer. Prayer is just one of those things we do. It's kind of like self-talk, you know, where we self-help ourselves. That's what a lot of people would say about prayer. And even among Christians, there are those who sometimes come to doubt prayer. Have you? Have you ever wondered whether it does you any good to pray or not? Have you ever had questions as to whether your prayers are being heard? If it's really just, am I going through the motions? Or is God really going to do what I'm asking Him to do? I received a letter a few months ago. I shared it in the Bible class a number of months ago when we were talking about something, but not everybody was in that Bible class. But in essence, the letter was from a lady. She was a Christian lady. She and her husband had been working together, serving the Lord, very active in the congregation where they were from, and hard workers. I mean, the model couple. They had raised faithful children. They had raised faithful grandchildren. And he was now at an age where he was able to retire. They were looking forward to doing mission work together and going and preaching and teaching people the gospel in other countries where the church wasn't as strong. And it was at that time he was diagnosed with cancer. And she said, I prayed. I prayed day and night. I prayed that God would give this man more time. I prayed for our grandchildren's sake. I prayed for my children's sake. I prayed for my sake. I prayed for the church's sake that he have more time on this earth. Because there's so much that we can do in service to God. And I never missed a day. I prayed multiple times every day. But with each return visit to the doctor, the news got worse and worse. Eventually, my husband died. And she said, now I am bitter. I'm angry. I can't believe and I can't bring myself to worship a God who would ignore my prayers and let my husband die. How could he take him from me when we had so much planned to do in His kingdom, not for selfish reasons, but for His reasons? And because of that, she said, I can't go to church anymore. I can't sing songs of praise to Him anymore. I certainly don't pray anymore. I've lost my faith in God. The reason was because of prayer. Or what she perceived as an unanswered prayer. So, and maybe we have not been to that extreme or to that extent, but have you prayed for things that didn't come to pass, and yet you're left wondering why? Have you looked at other people's lives and seen things turn for the better, and you're sitting there wondering, well, why is it that they get this, and I have, and it's not for me? Does God really hear our prayers? I think it's a fair question. And I'd like for us to look at what the Bible says in answer to that and maybe give some perspective from this biblical account that will help us to come to grips with those moments when we seem to not be heard by God. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 1. And I want us to read together verses 5 through several passages. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside of the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying on the right side of the altar, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Excuse me. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts and the fathers of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings." And we'll stop right there. But let me just summarize real quickly what we just read. Zacharias and Elizabeth were servants of God. Zacharias was a priest, serving in his daily rotation. It was his turn to go in and do certain things, to burn the incense. And when he went in there to do it, the angel appears, Gabriel, and he's scared. It's not every day you have an angel appear to you. And that angel says to Zacharias, "Hey, good news, your prayers have been heard." And he says, "You're going to have a son. And this boy, the Spirit of God is going to be upon him, and he is going to turn the people of Israel to their God. He's going to come in the spirit of Elijah. This is going to be a special son, a special gift from God." And again, Zacharias had question. You know, he makes mention again, "But we're old. My wife and I are old." And he said, "I'm the angel of God. I stand in the presence of God. And he sent me here, and I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen." Well, that story is interesting, and I can't help but think, you know, because nowhere in this immediate context does it say anything of Zacharias and Elizabeth praying. But the angel said, "Your prayers have been heard." The prayers of having a child, you know, we've talked about this before, but I don't think there are many people who are older people, and twice in this context, it says they are older people. How many older people do you think pray for children? I don't think that happens. I mean, parents need to be young, right? And we all acknowledge that just about. And I'm sure there was a time when they prayed this prayer and said, "Lord, we want a child. I'm barren. I want to have a child, a son." And those prayers must have gone up, and must have probably gone up frequently. As well, if we were in their situation, would we not pray frequently? But don't you get to an age, a time, where you finally just give up on that? And you say, "I'm too old. It's not for us." It must not have been in God's will for us to have this, and so I need to move on with my life and do other things. And that's apparently what they seem to have done. They're beyond that point in their life. They're older, an older couple. They're still serving God. And then out of the blue, this angel says, your prayer's answered. I have to wonder if he must have wondered, what prayer is that you're talking about? But the angel explains it. You're going to have a son. Your wife is going to have a child. And from this story, I think there are several things that we can learn about prayer that will help us to deal with what we may perceive to be unanswered prayers, and a few other aspects that have to do with the way we live while we're asking God to deliver and to grant us certain requests that we may pray. So here's the first point that I learned from this lesson. Number one, don't forsake God when your prayers aren't answered. You know, there are a lot of things that I could say to the lady, and a lot of things I did say to the lady through our correspondence back and forth, who wrote to me and said, I don't believe in God anymore. She completely lost her faith because she perceived that God had told her no or had responded negatively to her prayer. And there are a lot of directions I can go with that, but here's one thing that she should have remembered. Do you say no to God if he says no to you? If you don't get your way, do you take your ball and go home? Is that the way it works? That's what, you know, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Lord, please give us a child. My wife is barren. Please, Lord, we want a child. We want to raise a child. We want to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want him to be a servant of yours as well. We want the joy that comes from parenthood. Please grant us that request. No child is forthcoming. So what did Zacharias and Elizabeth do? Did they quit? Did they stop being faithful? Where is Zacharias found? He's found in the temple serving God. He's found in the house of God. You see, the no, or the perceived no that they had received didn't stop them from service to God. And I want us to have that same kind of mindset. When God apparently says no to us, Don't get all miffed. Don't bow up against God. Don't turn your back on him. Don't walk away. Don't stop believing. Because we see that, and we'll see in a little bit, when God says no, he says no for reasons. It's not out of vindictiveness. It's not to hurt us or to harm us. In fact, it's the opposite. When God tells us no, it's what is best. And our limited perspective may not always be able to see that. But surely we can reason rationally and think that if I have an eternal view of something, if I can see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, if I have that kind of perspective as opposed to this little narrow segment and that's all that I can see, surely I can see that his response would be better than my narrow response. Don't give up on God. Don't quit when your prayers seemingly go unnoticed. Zacharias and Elizabeth had to have been disappointed not to have a son. But they were right there, faithful, in their rotation, doing what God called them to do. We need to be the same. Also, here's a second thing. Remember that our prayers may not be... Well, it's not that God didn't answer them. It's God delaying in giving us what we had requested. Zacharias and Elizabeth may have thought, well, God said no to us. Well, he didn't. He said, wait. You see, there was a time when Jesus was to come into the world. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son born of a woman. It was perfect timing. And Jesus was going to have a forerunner, somebody who would come before him, preparing the way, kind of like that machete, clearing out a path in the jungle. And that's what John did. He prepared a way. He flattened the hills and made high the low places so that he would have easy going, easy traveling. But that all has to be coordinated. If Jesus came at a perfect time, we couldn't have Zacharias and Elizabeth having John years before. So God had to wait. He didn't tell them no. He said yes. But he said, on my time schedule, okay? Wait for it. And it happened. God, again, is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows how things fall into place. He knows when we're most able and capable of receiving certain things, mature enough to handle things, and not mature enough to handle things. Would you give a four-year-old a gun to play with? Or would you leave it just for him to say, hey, son, guess what I got you today? I went out and bought an M16. Here you go. You know, you wouldn't do that to a four-year-old. But there might come a time in your life when you say, hey, this is for you, and it would be appropriate. God knows where we are spiritually. He knows where we are spiritually better than we know where we are. Trust him to give us what we ask for when it's best for us. Delay doesn't mean necessarily no. Also, remember this. Remember that our prayers have to be in accordance with God's will. Sometimes you can pray for something and it's not in harmony with God's will. What if I prayed this? God, please don't let anyone in my family ever die. You see, usually a lot of our prayers have to do with death, right? We pray for the sick. We don't want them to die. And there may be times, and there are times, when God will extend the life of somebody, allow them to get well, and see to that. But ultimately, because it's not God's ideal will, but it's a circumstantial will, everybody's going to die. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We cannot thwart God's purposes through our prayers. If God said there's coming a time when everybody's going to live their life and die and face a judgment, then we can't say, God, don't ever let that happen to me, because he's not going to answer that prayer. We have to pray according to his will. We can't pray to God, God, I know this person has never obeyed the gospel, but save them anyway. Those prayers won't be answered because it's not according to his will. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 tells us that if we pray and we ask of God, if we ask according to his will, he hears us. So there's a condition there. I don't have a blanket. It's not like a vending machine where I go up and I put my money in and I push a button for such and such, and that's what comes rolling out. Because after all, God's this divine vending machine, and I push the button and I'm here waiting. That's not the way it works. Sometimes it can work that way, where I ask and I receive what I get. But sometimes God says, that's not what I want. That's not what I want for you. That's not what I want for them. And so we have to pray in harmony with his will. Here's another thing that we need to keep in mind. Remember that if God is to hear us, we have to be living righteous lives. The effective fervent prayer, James 5 verse 16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What if I live like the devil? And then when I get in a pinch, I ask God to forgive me. Or I ask God to bless me. What if I have no use for God until my family gets sick? Or no use for God until my job gets in trouble? No use for God until my family, my marriage starts falling apart? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And to demonstrate that, he takes Elijah for an example, and he said, Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3 years, and it didn't rain for 3 years, and when he prayed again, it rained. Now, that doesn't mean that we can control the weather and pray, and God's just gonna, you know, control the weather like that. It was God's will. In fact, God told Elijah to pray that it would not rain, and it did not rain. Again, if you pray in harmony with his will, God hears you. But don't think that you can be an unrighteous person and God is at your every beckon. That's not the way it works, he's not going to be used and manipulated by us to that effect. So that's a consideration. Am I righteous when I'm praying? Am I really trying to manipulate God? Am I using God? Am I just trying to get what I want and use God as some kind of a, you know, leverage? If that's the case, we don't have any promise, any guarantee of prayers being answered. And then here's another thing. We have to remember God's perspective in this. Tomorrow night, the Benners and myself and Doug Tooley, we're going to a ball game in Cincinnati. And we don't want it to rain. But what if there are people in Cincinnati saying, man, we need to rain. And they're praying to God for rain. Who's he going to hear? Well, aside from jokes that you might answer, think of how many times God receives conflicting prayers. How many times does he receive prayers from good, righteous people that both ask for diametrically opposite things? I remember as a young boy going to the going to church, and people would be praying for people, people in particular in the nursing home. And one of the earliest memories of me visiting the nursing home was with my dad, and we went to visit one of these ladies that the church prays for regularly, be with her, give her strength, give her a long life, give her her health back, and all those kind of prayers. And you know what she said to my dad? And I've had it since many times said to me as well. Will you please pray before you leave, but don't pray for my health. Pray that I might die. I've lived my life. I'm lingering here. I don't want to be here. There's nothing left for me to do here. I want to move on. Please pray that my time here be short and that when it comes, it be easy. Now, so God has two prayers going up on behalf of this lady. There's the family, her family, and they're saying, Lord, please be with her. Give her a long life. And she's praying, please take my life. I'm through. I'm ready to go home. Understand that some prayers by the very nature are contradictory and God has to decide. And sometimes he says no because somebody else's prayer was better than yours and more in harmony with his will than yours. So you see, prayer doesn't just work like, I pray for it, I get it, right? No, that's not the way it works. Do I believe in prayer? Absolutely. In fact, I don't know that we pray enough. And maybe that's an indictment of myself. I'm saying I don't pray enough. Sometimes you find yourself in situations when the road gets a little rocky and bumpy, and all of a sudden you realize, man, this thing is much bigger than me. And we pray. We realize our need. It's like the period of the judges. You know, you had those cycles where you're disobedient and obedient and disobedient. You know, it just goes. When hard times come, we fall to our knees a whole lot quicker than during good times. It's not the way he wants it, but that's how we sometimes behave. And it's those tough times that kind of wake us up from time to time. Well, here's the way it works. We pray, and God hears. But it doesn't mean he's going to give you what you want. It doesn't mean he's going to give you what you want when you want it. And it may mean that, you know, that's a good prayer, but you need to get your life right. Because I've turned a deaf ear to you. You remember what Isaiah said? You know, it's not that his ears, he's dull of hearing. It's not that his hand's too short to reach down and affect your life. It's because of your sins. You've separated yourself from God, and he's not going to help right now because of your sins. Do you want God to answer your prayers? Learn what his will is. Pray in harmony with it. Live your life a righteous life. Live righteously and be patient And when God says no, as he sometimes will, don't get angry and turn your back on him. Don't pout. Realize that he seeks your best, and you'll be a better person because of his no. Where would you be today? I think there was a country, so I don't know anything about country music, and I mentioned this one time, and somebody said, oh, you're just copying that country song or something. I didn't even know what it was. Somebody does, I'm sure. But, you know, there's a song that talks about where he would be if God had answered all of his prayers. Would you be sitting by the person you're sitting by today if God answered all your prayers? You remember that first love? You knew she was right. Perfect. The one you wanted to spend the rest of your life with. And you prayed to God and it didn't work out. Could you look back at cases like that and say, oh, I'm so glad that didn't work out. But at the time you couldn't see it. Be thankful that God doesn't give us everything you want, that we want. That he's selective and he only gives us what's best for us, as any loving father would do. Prayer is more than psychological. It's more than a crutch. It's real. God answers prayer. And because of that, let me encourage you to be people of prayer. Jesus said, and I want this to be said of us, and I want you to consider, if I were to ask you, tell me, give me the top five things about the Carnes Church of Christ. Tell me who they are in five short summations. The Carnes Church of Christ is a church that, give me five. You know what I'd want to be in that five? They're a people of prayer. I would want that to be one of them. Jesus wanted his house to be a house of prayer. You remember that? He had great zeal for the house of God. We need to be a church of prayer. What could we do and what impact can we make if we will use our influence through prayer and make intercession for the lost in our community? We got a Friends Day coming up. What if we start praying for individuals? Let's invite them and let's start praying for them. Let's start asking God to get involved in their lives and to bring about circumstances that bring them to decisions. Maybe that's what it takes. Maybe that will make the difference. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray for the sick. Let's pray. But he won't hear you unless you're in a right relationship with him. You can't expect God to hear an unrighteous man's prayers. So get your life right and avail yourself of this tremendous resource that a benevolent God has given us. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, why don't you obey the gospel of Christ, become his child, and be able to talk to him as a child does to his father, and to have the assurance that he's going to give you what's best for you and never what's worse. That's one of the blessings of being a child of God, is we have that kind of heavenly father. If you need to respond to the invitation to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we'll assist you in that. But if you are a Christian and you decide it's time to do things right, it's time to come clean, it's time to live my life for him, you know what? We can pray for you on your behalf, and God will hear, and he'll forgive, and he'll renew you. If you need to come as we stand together and sing, won't you come?